Turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Who's happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning? Who loves the Word of God? So here's the thing. When I read it with an open heart, God speaks. And so I want to pray right now that we have open hearts this morning, Father God. I just thank you for your Word. Lord, I thank you that when we seek it in earnest, God, that it delivers truth. That, Lord, it is relevant for today, and it speaks to our very soul. God, I pray for each and every heart here that, Lord, there will be a fertile ground to receive what you are saying today. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've been going through this At the Table series. Who's spent a little bit too much time this holiday season at the table? Oh, brother, yeah. I can't wait for it to be done already. Because, I mean, it's a good season, but it's easy to put on 10 pounds, isn't it? Steve's like, I wish just 10. Wow. You know, and as I look at all the biblical examples of God working through a dinner table setting, I could make this series go on for weeks. But today, as we begin this message, I want you to think about people that we tend to avoid because of their reputation. Have you ever gone out to dinner, saw someone that you didn't even want them to know you were there, and you duck and cover, or you're thinking, oh, waitress, if you could take us to that table in the corner so they can't see, or maybe you decided to duck and just leave, I don't know. And so the kind of person that when I say the phrase, I wouldn't be caught dead with that person, is there anyone that comes to mind for you? So maybe it is the kind of person that you'd refuse to hang out with, or someone specific. Maybe it's a drug addict. Maybe it's a prostitute. Maybe it's a politician. Maybe it's a lawyer. Our natural inclination is there are people that we personally don't like to associate with, and people that we also have a hard time giving a chance to. Jesus in his ministry, he had so many people approach him who were of bad reputation. In the eyes of some, it were tax collectors. In the eyes of many of the same people, the prostitutes he ministered to. Then in the eyes of others, it was the Pharisees, the keepers of the law of God. And so as Jesus was traveling, he was approached by someone who was less than reputable, and that's what we're going to read about this morning. Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Let's read. It says, Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. There was a man there named Zacchaeus. He was the chief tax collector in the region, and he had become very rich. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Zacchaeus, he said, quick, come down. I must be a guest in your home today. First off, how bold by Jesus, right, to invite himself into someone's home, but here we are. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Everyone say, excitement. But the people were displeased. He has gone to be a guest at, he's gone to be the guest of a notorious sinner, they grumbled. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. There's been several times in my life where I've been seen with someone who wasn't of the best reputation, and other people thought less of me as a result. Sometimes I was that person of bad reputation. And as I look through what it must be like to be Zacchaeus, there are several things that stand out to me. And Kelton, God gave you a word this morning, and it's not by mistake. His identity. Here this guy was. He was overlooked by many. He was short in stature. Some of you in this room can relate. I'm not going to name names. But he was literally overlooked. People recognized him by his physical size, and his identity was wrapped up in his stature. In describing this encounter Jesus had with Zacchaeus, a Scottish pastor notes, Zacchaeus is spectacular because he is not like other characters who encountered Christ. He was not called as the disciples were, nor was Zacchaeus suffering from some kind of affliction. What makes Zacchaeus so special is that he was an average man. But in how he's described here, we identify people by their physical characteristics all the time. Think about this. We describe people by whether they're tall, short, pretty, ugly, color of hair, maybe they're bald, maybe they're balding, rich or poor. You know, that is how we define people. And many people are assigned their value based by their physical appearance. But Jesus goes by. Jesus walks by him and calls him by name. Have you ever been by someone and you didn't realize they knew your name and you thought pretty highly of them, and then all of a sudden they call out your name and it's like, oh, they know me. Sometimes it sets you back a little bit. Jesus walks by and calls him by name. And, you know, Jesus, while he was on the face of the earth, he walked in the purpose of God, displaying who God was wherever he went. And he illustrates how we should relate to people and how God relates to us, because God knows our name. He knows your name this morning. In Numbers chapter 6, verse 25, it says, may the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. And he does that because he created you. And I want you to check this out. God is happy seeing you. You might not be happy seeing you all the time. God is. He's happy to see you. And so here it is. Jesus, he's entering through town. The Messiah, God incarnate, he locked eyes with Zacchaeus, called him by name, and was glad to see him. And here's the thing. He was a tax collector. There aren't many people who's glad to see Zacchaeus. Quite the opposite. And he was rich. And so many people put those two things together and like, how'd you get rich, dude? You got rich out of my pocket. That's how they think. So no one was glad to see him. But Zacchaeus was also not interrupting Jesus. Check this out. Jesus always makes time for those who seek him. And so Jesus was there for a reason. I'm going out, aren't I? Yeah, it's something's going on. Jesus was in town for a purpose. He was going by for a reason. And here Zacchaeus is up in a tree. Jesus changed his plans for him. And Zacchaeus didn't just climb the tree because he wanted to see Jesus. Check this out. He wanted Jesus to see him. And it's a simple truth about God that I think each and every person in this room needs to accept. When you seek God, you'll find him. You'll find him. In Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 13, it says, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me.
So if you go and search for God with this sincere, open heart, you're going to find him. And so here in this story, there was no ulterior motive. Zacchaeus just wanted to see Jesus. Other people viewed him as a notorious sinner. You see that? In their eyes, he was a notorious sinner. So here's this guy. He has this terrible reputation, and it wasn't just the Pharisees that had a problem with him. Everyone did. If you were a tax collector, it was a lucrative job. If you had friends before you became one, you'd lose them. Because in their eyes, you're aligning yourself with the Romans, and the Romans had a reputation for executing hired help. And so it didn't matter. You know, you don't want to be close to that person. And it doesn't say specifically who called him a notorious sinner, who frowned at Jesus hanging out with him. But in verse 7, it says, but the people were displeased. He had gone to be a guest of a notorious sinner. Those people could have been anybody. It could have been one of the 12 disciples. Jesus had many followers beyond the 12 that were going around with him everywhere. It could have been others in the crowd. It could have been the Pharisees. But Jesus didn't identify Zacchaeus by his sin, nor did he identify him by his physical appearance. He had identified him as someone his Father created. Now, you and I, we all know someone that we don't want to associate with based off of what they've done. There have been churches that even won't accept people based off of their appearance or the sin they had committed in their life. And here's what I learned when I studied Jesus. He makes it so clear that if you are seeking him with an earnest heart, it really doesn't matter what you've done. He looks at you as his created. And something that you need to accept is that Jesus, this is you looking in the mirror right now, Jesus cares for you. He doesn't care what it means to the rest of the world to associate with you. Jesus is not risking his reputation for you. His reputation isn't built on you. It's built on what he's done. In Matthew 11, 19, it says, the Son of Man, on the other hand, feast and drinks, and you say, he's a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of tax collectors and other sinners, but wisdom is shown to be right by its results. Saying that if you look at the results of those that Jesus was a friend with, their lives changed. Zacchaeus had this curiosity. And it's displayed in the fact that he was looking for something well before this moment where he's up in a tree. You know, I believe when we're born, we're all birthed with this natural curiosity for God. If you look at the life of Zacchaeus and by what we know, that he didn't have any observable needs in his life like so many others who approached Jesus. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 10 says, I have seen the burden God has placed on us all. What does this mean for you and I? God has instilled within us a desire to connect with him, and it's an unescapable burden where it keeps tugging on your heart until you find it. I've met many people that some fight it, they ignore it, they deny it, but Scripture makes it so clear that many people, they seek many things beside God, trying to find life's meaning, but nothing else will permanently satisfy. Just God. We're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And as spiritual beings, what you will find as you search for other things besides God, that no worldly success, no possession will satisfy the longing that is in your soul. Psalm 107:9 says, for he satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness. You know, it used to be possessions that drove me, where I'm obsessed until I got that thing. And then I'd get that thing and I'm like, man, all the needs in my life are answered for a day. right, for a day, and then it's just gone again, and then my heart is focused on something else after that. But God brings true satisfaction. Jesus here, he was addressing the spiritual needs of the world, being greater than the physical needs. And he did that with the story of the woman at the well in John chapter 4. He said in John 4:14, "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." And that speaks to the longing for deep satisfaction that is within our soul. And so as much as this water that Jesus is speaking to is figurative, what he is saying is that what he imparts into our spirit is going to be so overwhelming that it's going to affect others in our life as well. That's the satisfaction that God gives. You know, we know Zacchaeus was different than most people. He was successful as indicated by his title, chief tax collector. He was rich. But he says something that demonstrates that he did his best to operate in integrity. So he has this reputation that he's a notorious sinner. But listen to what he says in verse 8. He says, "And if I have cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much." So it seems to indicate that he didn't believe he did. He didn't believe he had cheated anybody, and he opened himself up to the examination of Jesus. "Search my heart. If I've cheated anyone, I'll give them back four times what I've taken from them." So it can be easy for people to assume that he was crooked. I mean, we say it all the time. All politicians are crooked, right? Or all lawyers are liars. Or all pastors care about his money. It stands to reason. Zacchaeus allowed the Spirit of God to search his heart and its intent. And I think the best thing for you and I is if we just do the same. To me, that's a true demonstration on how to follow Jesus. Think about so many people. They want the promised reward of eternity, but we want to go on living about our lifestyles and not saying, "God, examine me, show me the parts of me that you don't like." We don't want to do that. But a true heart that longs for God says, "God, I want to be like you. I want to be like your son, Jesus Christ." And so here Zacchaeus is, and he's curious. He's so curious about God. And it brings him this opportunity that he probably did not expect. Jesus invites himself to his dinner table. Now, for you and I, there are a few moments where it seems like the stars align in our life to where deep curiosities that you and I are birthed with have an opportunity for fulfillment. And I don't know how old Zacchaeus was, but I can tell you the only time that I climbed a tree or climb a tree at this age is to get into a deer stand. I'm not just going to climb a tree for anything or anybody. And so it's not normal everyday routine to climb trees, but it speaks to a deep longing in his heart. And there might be so many people in this world that are crying out, "God, notice me." And if you are here, I'm telling you, if the longing of your heart is, "God, notice me," I'm telling you, he already has. You just got to be completely open to him. And so this moment in Zacchaeus' life, it was drawing him in for what we call a divine appointment. See, church, I believe that God aligns our heart with opportunities right before us to connect with him. In 2 Corinthians, chapter 6, verse 2, "For he says, 'In an acceptable time I have heard you, And in the day of salvation, I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And so here's the key with the way God works and the way God tugs on people's hearts. I believe the prompting on hearts, God works in all people. Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. Doesn't matter your background. Because if today you are giving yourself an opportunity to meet Jesus, he's reaching out to you. If you're actively seeking him, he reaches out to you and you can sense it. It tugs on your spirit and the feeling of that is undeniable. And that is where the opportunity can make way for our true destiny, what God's called us to. And this is where I'm going to end today. This moment, it wasn't just a really cool day in Zacchaeus' life. It changed him forever. A person's destiny is much more than the end result or reaching some achievable goal. Destiny is the driving force that shapes us and defines a person's life. He was previously defined as short or tax collector. And now he's child of God. Listen to this. Going back to our main text. Meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half my wealth to the poor, Lord, and if I have cheated people on their taxes, I give them back four times as much. And this is Jesus' response to him saying that. He didn't say, let me see. Let's go over your heart. Let's see how many people you've cheated. Jesus' response was, salvation has come to this home today, for this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. And do you know what it means to be a true son or daughter of Abraham? It means to be a child of the living God. That's what that means. And so Jesus is saying, I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you are. I don't care about your background. I don't care what they think. You're a child of the living God. His destiny included salvation, his vocation, his determination to meet Jesus. It was who he was. He overcame the physical limitations. That crowd that's blocking him from seeing Jesus. His peers criticizing him along the way. They didn't know Zacchaeus was in a tree, but that action after they realized he was in a tree seemed pretty offensive. But his struggle was clear. He felt invisible, wondering if anyone even knew he existed. He has financial security, but there's a longing in his soul for something greater. Church, I'm telling you, when salvation finds you, all the other things in the grand scheme of life, they're absolutely meaningless. So some of you, you've sat in church maybe 100 times. You've heard a call for salvation many, many times. Some are fearful of that experience, not knowing what to expect, what's going to happen, what's going to take place. I want to make it so clear for you and easy. Salvation is the convergence of purpose and destiny back to God's intent for you. That's what it is. God wants to be with you. And he provided a way through his son, Jesus Christ. Now, God doesn't offer this solely for those who are raised in church, those who are born in the right family or race. It doesn't even matter your reputation and the world's perception of you. In fact, God loves to use people that the world would never expect. He loves to use those kind of people. So we have to eliminate the thought that God doesn't care about you. I want your eyes to be open to recognize that this is a lie. It's simply not true. There's something Jesus said in regards to Zacchaeus. He said, what is lost is now found. In John 10:10, it says, for the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Zacchaeus wasn't physically lost. He had security in his life, but he was spiritually lost. And if you're here today and you have no hope beyond death, it speaks to being lost, not really knowing where you're going. So there might be a longing in your heart for something more than you have found. And I'm encouraging you, seek Jesus. The God of the universe, he sent his son so that you can have a direct relationship with him. Jesus took the penalty of sin. So again, our reputation, whether it's deserved or unmerited, doesn't matter to God. Jesus took the penalty. He chose you because he wants to cleanse you of your sin. And that's true for each and every one of us, no matter what it is you have done. You know, it's not enough for Jesus to just meet you once and call it a day and say, hey, see you around. He wants to be in your life. He wants to be a part of your routine daily. He walks daily with those who embrace him as their Savior. In Matthew 28:20, and I'm going to ask the all prayer altar team to come up. In Matthew 28:20, it says, I am with you. This is Jesus speaking. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. In Hebrews 13:5, I want you to listen to this. He talks about something else, but then it gets to the point that I'm going to make. He says, don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. Listen to this last sentence. I will never abandon you. Zacchaeus had achieved what many hadn't. And he wasn't satisfied with being rich. He wasn't satisfied with the job title that he had acquired. He yearned for something more, and he found it through Jesus Christ. So if you're here today, whether you feel that you have reached the bottom, maybe you've reached the top, but you aren't satisfied. I'm telling you, we've all been there. And so those who have found Jesus know what that meant to accept him and find security and freedom and peace. Excuse me, John 10:10, it says, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. In the eyes of the world, Zacchaeus' job, his physical appearance, it determined who he was. And Jesus called him son of Abraham. God's calling out to you today. He's calling you son or daughter of Abraham. He's saying, if you just choose to accept my son, you're mine. And I want you to know, those questions, that wrestling with identity, that natural curiosity, is satisfied in Jesus. And that's what he wants to do today. So I'm going to ask everyone, as we're getting ready to close, to stand up. I just want you to close your eyes. I believe that God is working on hearts right now. And here's the cool thing about God, and in that word that God gave Christy, he's El Shaddai. He is all-powerful. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. So that means he can be working on an individual basis on each and every one of our lives right now. And he's also omniscient. He knows everything. And so he can look on your life, know the struggle, know with what you're going through right now. And he's calling out to you as an individual. And if the Spirit of God is tugging on your heart, What he's wanting to do is he's wanting to satisfy the longing in your soul. And you have that opportunity today to find it through the fulfillment of what Jesus Christ did on the cross, and that he came back to life. He was raised from the dead. We serve a God that is not dead. He is living. And at the moment, he is sitting at the right hand of the Father, telling him about you. He's your mediator. He's your defender. He points to the finished work on the cross and says it can cover them too. If you just choose to receive him, choose to embrace him. Because there's many people in this room, you've accepted Christ before, but the reality is you're not living life to the fullest in Christ. And God, he wants to change that in your life. So whether you're accepting Jesus for the first time or you're just not finding the fulfillment that you know you can have in God, it's time to respond. It's time to say, God, I'm all yours. I'm all in. And so what we want to do this morning is we want to pray for you. We want to allow the Spirit of God to call you out by name, to affirm that he is for you and that he wants to be with you each and every day. He wants to dine at your table. He wants to be in your house. We're going to sing. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If the Holy Spirit is working on your heart and you need prayed for, just respond this morning. Seek you, God. You just pour out. Lord, you reveal to us who we are in you. And God, you never bring condemnation. When you speak, God, Lord, you bring conviction to our hearts so that we are molded more and more into your image. And God, instead, we have a freedom and we have a peace. Lord, you bring excitement and joy. God, our reputation isn't tied to the opinions of others, Lord. You call us sons and daughters. Lord, I pray that we be people that do not walk in defeat. Lord, we walk in victory that is found in your Son, Jesus. And we be strengthened and encouraged by that. In Jesus' name, amen. Hold on just a second.